Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the trial for the murder of Derry journalist Lyra McKee is underway in Belfast. The Taoiseach has expressed frustration that the suspects in the killing of peacekeeper Private Sean Rooney remain at large. Letterkenny Community Childcare is to lead a picket outside the Donegal County Council offices next week on Election Day, and 226 children in Donegal remain on disability assessment waiting lists. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport at around 5:15. Donal Kavanagh will also be bringing today's wrap report from the local election debate of the Lifford Snorter electoral area, and farming news and views will be up after the obituary notices. First in news. Documentary footage filmed by MTV prior to the shooting of journalist Lyra McKee has been played at the opening of the trial of the three men accused of her murder. She was shot after rioting broke out in Derry in April of 2019. The new IRA claimed responsibility. Hannah Patterson has more.
TV presenter Reggie Yates and the MTV crew were in Derry filming a documentary on the day of the shooting. The court heard today Yates and the crew had left the riot scene shortly before the shots were fired on the night Miss McKee was killed. The judge was told the shooting had, however, been captured by a police evidence-gathering camera and mobile phone footage taken by members of the public. Three men are charged with the murder, while seven others are facing other charges. All are from Derry.
The Taoiseach has expressed frustration that suspects in the killing of peacekeeper Private Sean Rooney remain at large. The 24-year-old from Donegal was killed in an attack near the South Lebanon border in December 2022. Simon Harris spoke to the Prime Minister of Lebanon today about a range of issues, including the work of Irish peacekeepers in the south of the country. The Taoiseach says there was serious concerns in Ireland with delays to date in the main suspect in the case appearing in court, and he hoped scheduled court hearing next week would proceed. Tripper Shane Kearney was seriously injured in the incident also. Exchanges in the Dáil got heated once again today between Deputy Piers Doherty and Taoiseach Micheál Martin. It was in relation to the delay of the completion of the National Children's Hospital. The Dáil's Public Accounts Committee has heard that it's now expected the site at St James's Hospital in Dublin won't be finished until February 2025, but the board of the project say they can't guarantee that. It's also claimed delays would be the big factor on a potential increase in costs to the build and to operate the hospital. Deputy Doherty accused the government of being asleep at the wheel.
Taoiseach, the initial cost of this hospital was supposed to be 650 million euros. And now we learn that the cost has increased to more than 2.2 billion euros. And the board today, I don't know if you've seen it, the board actually couldn't guarantee that it wouldn't go higher. This is crazy stuff, Taoiseach. The government has lost all control in relation to the cost and the delivery of this project. And it is any wonder. This has been a slow-moving car crash from day one. And it is the Minister for Health and his predecessors who've been asleep at the wheel.
In response, Taoiseach Micheál Martin warned Deputy Doherty not to be a pawn for BAM, who he says is the cause of the delay.
I would put it to you very directly that I'm not going to take debate, and I would suggest you don't take debate either. And I would call on BAM to resource the site adequately and comprehensively to enable this hospital to be completed as fast as we possibly can. And the government is fair and is dealing with this in a fair manner. But we're not going to, say, finish this at any cost or throw to one side proper procedural approaches as to how claim and counterclaim gets resolved and how contracts get enforced.
Letterkenny Community Childcare is to lead a picket outside the Donegal County Council offices in Letterkenny tomorrow week on June 7th as people are voting in the European and local elections. It's to highlight the fact that they and 22 other services from all over the county are affected by defective concrete blocks. LCC manager Geraldine Burke says this means 40% of childcare facilities in Donegal may have to close in the next few years. That's due to buildings being unfit for purpose and with no government support and no provision in the redress scheme to help them. On today's 9 till noon show, Taoiseach Simon Harris invited the groups to make direct contact with him.
Let's see if we can find a way to help these childcare facilities, even if it's outside of the context of the current scheme. If there are other ways we can help and support them, I'm very happy to engage with both the Department of Housing and the Department of Children and see if we can make progress on that, because what we certainly want is an expansion of childcare places, not a reduction. What we certainly don't want are childcare facilities that aren't safe in terms of defective concrete either. I'm offering this morning on Highland, if people wish to send me correspondence on that, that I'll personally engage with the Department of Children and the Department of Housing on behalf of that group.
Later on the show, Geraldine Burke welcomed the Taoiseach's offer, but said when she wrote to the previous Taoiseach and Children's Minister, there were no solutions offered.
Well, that's great to hear, but I wrote to the previous Taoiseach and I got a response. And I also wrote to Minister O'Gorman, the Minister of Children, and I got a response from him, but his response was a sustainability fund. We are sustainable. We need capital funding. And we are one of many groups, as I said in my email, 24 groups have identified, both community and private. And I think government has a responsibility to cover both sections of the sector.
A parliamentary question has revealed that 226 children in Donegal remain on disability assessment waiting lists, leaving families in limbo in terms of receiving appropriate health and educational supports. Letterkenny local electoral candidate Michael McLaughlin says it's devastating to learn. Of the children on the list, 196 have been overdue their appointment by longer than 3 months. That's an increase of 9% on last year. Mr. McLaughlin says it's a failure on the government.
It's an absolute failure of the Sinn Féin Fine Gael government. They've seen this problem, known about it. It's been a pre-pandemic problem that's grown year on year. So we put in a parliamentary question that has been answered this morning, and the most recent figures say that 226 young people are now on overdue for their assessment here in Donegal, and 196 of them have been overdue for in excess of 3 months. That's up from 179 young people waiting for being overdue by in excess of 3 months last year.
Do you have any suggestions on what could be done? Because, as you said, it's a long going on problem, but there doesn't seem to be much light at the end of the tunnel for these families.
We need to be investing in our services for young people. This is a failure to see the problem, a failure to plan for the problem, a failure to act, and a failure for our vulnerable young people. This system of renting healthcare professionals doesn't work. We need to invest in proper healthcare staff to look after our young people in Donegal.
Letterkenny Chamber has released its local election manifesto for 2024, outlining what it describes as a strategic vision to enhance the socio-economic and environmental landscape of Letterkenny and the wider northwest region. Michaela Clark has more.
The manifesto highlights a pivotal role local authorities have played over the past 5 years, demonstrating the importance of collaboration and responsiveness. Describing the document as a catalyst for discussion and debate, Chamber President Claire McDonough stressed the need for candidates to understand pressing issues and commit themselves to seeking rapid, sustained change. She says Letterkenny Chamber encourages all potential councillors to do everything in their power to ensure that the deficits are addressed, so that together we can deliver on our shared ambitions. The manifesto is structured around three main priorities: infrastructure for the future, vibrant towns and villages, and green ambition. Chamber CEO Tony Forrester is calling on all local election candidates to embrace these priorities and work collaboratively with the business community to drive meaningful, timely and sustainable change.
Donegal Action for Cancer Care is welcoming confirmation that a drug used to treat amyloidosis, a rare cancer that has higher rates in Donegal than elsewhere in Ireland, is to be funded by the HSC. The manufacturers announced that last evening that vutrisiran will be made available by the HSC for adults who have amyloidosis with stage 1 or stage 2 polyneuropathy. The DACC chairperson Betty Holmes says this will now allow patients to receive the injection at home rather than having to go to hospital, as they do at the moment for the current drug, patisiran. She says this is particularly important given the prevalence of the condition in Donegal.
I was shocked to discover the number of people who actually had amyloidosis just a few miles down the road from me. The variant that's predominant in Donegal is now actually called the Donegal Amy. Before, when we got the patisiran approved, Donald, the patients had to go to hospital to have their infusion administered every 3 weeks in hospital. Now, with the rollout and the announcement of the drug, the new one being approved, what that actually means is that the patients will now be able to receive the injection in their home every 12 weeks. There's less side effects and it will definitely improve the quality of life for the amyloidosis patients. But we must keep the pressure on. We must ensure that patients who have it in the family or whatever actually go for genetic testing. Raising awareness, it's a good news story.
It does show that persistent campaigning in this regard eventually pays dividends.
Yes, Donal. I have to say, one of the things, I suppose, initially when Rosalind had contacted me, I actually read up then at that time, because we had the whole thing around drugs and medicines and how much money was being spent on it. And it was actually very scary that the patients with such a serious life-limiting disease weren't having access to the treatments that were already available in the six counties in Northern Ireland. Because we actually asked that question at that time, could the patients in Donegal not go into the north and access their patisserin? But it's important that we read the documents, we're able to pick out the key lines that actually tie into the needs of the patients here in Donegal, and be able to throw that back to our government.
Additional nurses and midwives are needed to staff the planned new hospital beds, 72 of which are to be rolled out at Letterkenny University Hospital. That's the call from the INMO, which says the 3,352 newly announced acute beds are just one piece of the puzzle. The beds are to come on stream between now and 2031 in an effort to tackle the ongoing hospital overcrowding crisis. Colin Porter from the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation says working conditions also need to be improved to attract nursing staff to the HSE.
Newly recruited staff and newly graduate staff are coming into hospitals that are massively overcrowded, and this doesn't paint a picture of a health service that people may want to come back to. So in the first instance, the embargo needs to be lifted, and then secondly, the issues related to overcrowding need to be addressed as a matter of urgency.
The time's now coming up to 12 minutes past five. We'll be back with sport after this short break. It's 5:15. Here's Mark Gallagher with all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. Republic of Ireland manager Eileen Gleeson says a late decision will be made on Denise O'Sullivan's fitness ahead of tomorrow's Euro 2025 qualifier against Sweden. The midfielder missed the February window with a knee injury and still remains a doubt for the back-to-back matches with the Swedes. Gleeson says they were aware of the situation coming into the camp.
There'll be late calls because we always knew she was going to be on a modified training programme, so it were where we knew we would be. We knew obviously there was an injury before she came in, and we were bringing her in, so we're in the same position that we were in before we came into the camp with Denise.
Celtic boss Brendan Rodgers has hinted it could be a busy summer at Parkhead. They clinched a 12th Scottish Premiership title in 13 seasons, which sees them qualify automatically for the new Champions League format. Rodgers says that will make the club an attractive proposition as they look to improve the squad.
It's getting another step in the types of profiles that I would want within the squad to allow us to progress and develop.
New Bayern Munich head coach Vincent Kompany says he's comfortable with his tactical approach can be a success in the Bundesliga. The former Manchester City captain faced criticism for failing to adapt to the Premier League as his Burnley side were relegated last season. But Kompany is confident the players will take to his methods.
I want the players of Bayern Munich to be brave, really brave on the ball, to have personality on the ball. But also my nature is, I'm also someone that is aggressive, so I want the team to be aggressive.
In motorsport, the 2024 Wilton Recycling Donegal International Rally launch will take place this evening. The venue is Divers Hyundai on the Canal Road, Letterkenny, and is due to get underway at around 7:30. The much-awaited seated entry list will also be released this evening, while the rally itself will take place on the weekend of the 21st to the 23rd of June. In golf, Leona Maguire is four shots off the lead on day one of the Women's US Open in Pennsylvania. The Cavan native is two over par after 11 holes of her first round at the Lancaster Country Club. Megan Schofield is the current leader on two under. Claire Amateur and Anya Donegan is three over, while Stephanie Meadow tees off later. On the PGA Tour, Rory McIlroy is two under par after 14 holes of his first round at the Canadian Open. Seamus Power is one over par as American Sam Burns leads on 7 under. Shane Lowry begins his challenge later. On 9 under, Yannick De Bruyne is out in front on day one of the European Open in Hamburg. Defending champion Tom McGibbon is even par after 6. In tennis, defending champion Novak Djokovic is into the third round of the French Open. The top seed has defeated Roberto Carballes Boyena 6-4, 6-1, 6-2, while fourth seed Alexander Zverev is into the third round following a straight sets win over David Goffin. Earlier today, women's second seed Aryna Sabalenka sailed into the third round. And in boxing, Dublin's Sean Murray is out of the Olympic qualifiers in Bangkok. He was forced to withdraw owing to a hand injury sustained in his opening bout. And finally, this week on The Score, we hear from the Donegal and Derry camps ahead of the Nicky Rackard and Christy Ring hurling finals this weekend. And we speak to Finn Harps manager Darren Murphy ahead of a double round of home fixtures in the SSE Airtricity League. That's all on The Score this evening after the 7 o'clock news. Back to you, Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. As polling day approaches, Greg Hughes hosted the second of our pre-election debates for the Lifford-Stranorder Order electoral area, where 12 candidates are contesting for 6 seats. Donal Kavanagh brings a special report.
Sinn Féin's Dakota Nic Veneman said, as a young mother, she understands the needs of her generation and wants to address them.
I am a 25-year-old mother of one from Balbfey, and I'm a fluent Irish speaker. I am asking people to vote for me if they want change. I am a new, young female voice. This is something that I believe is missing in our area. I understand issues facing both families and my generation. Issues such as the high cost of living, housing crisis and the loss of our young people to emigration. I firmly believe that this generation needs strong representation in Donegal County Council. Sinn Féin are the only party, I believe, who can deliver change, and that change starts here at local level.
Fine Gael Councillor Martin Harley said, as a business person and councillor based in the Twin Towns, he wants to help bring ongoing projects there to fruition.
34 years in business in the Twin Towns. I have the experience of working with executive within the council. I feel that's important going forward because there's a lot of projects that will be important with the regeneration of the Twin Towns, with the bypass coming in the next few years, expected to be delivered, the final delivery from the government in the next even few months. The council at a local level, we have been involved in buying a lot of land up at a local level over the last number of years for social housing into the next 5 years. So I want to be part of all that into the next 5 years.
Fianna Fáil Councillor Patrick McGowan stressed his record working with and lobbying for community groups.
I'm a full-time councillor, and generally what I do is I work with community groups. I probably would have helped establish most of the community groups in the area that I serve, from Castlefin, Convey, Glenfinnan, Balbafay. I've helped deliver on a lot of projects. I'm very aware of all the bureaucracy and the problems it is trying to link up projects, how to get them started. I know there's a lot of talk out there for change. My thing would be not change for change's sake, change for the better.
Independent candidate Martin Scanlon stressed his community involvement and pledged to be a strong voice.
I'm a self-employed contractor in the forestry industry, employing 5 full-time staff and also a part-time farmer. I'm an active member in the community, and I've personally supported local groups such as our Mothers and Others and our local Glenfinnan teams. I'm a passionate supporter of rural Ireland, and I firmly believe that rural areas such as Glenfinnan and the surrounding areas could do much better with proper investment. My priorities from day one have been for an improvement in infrastructure such as our roads, public water supply, broadband and transport.
Sinn Féin Councillor Gary Doherty said he's running on the basis of his record.
I was co-opted onto Donegal County Council back in November 2013. During my time in the council, I've done everything that I could to try and promote not only the Lifford-Stranorder area, but Donegal as a whole. I've spoken in front of Oireachtas committees and met with ministers to highlight issues including flooding or transport infrastructure, including the A5 and 10T routes. And I've represented Donegal in the European Parliament in Brussels to highlight cross-border health initiatives and improvements to our mobile phone network and the broadband infrastructure.
And you can watch that debate as it unfolded via our website, highlandradio.com.
Looking out to weather, a mix of cloud and sunny spells this evening with scattered showers and moderate to occasionally fresh and gusty west to northwest winds. To conclude this evening's news, the trial for the murder of Derry journalist Lyra McKee is underway in Belfast. Letterkenny Community Childcare is to lead a picket outside the Donegal County Council offices on this day week on Election Day. Exchanges in the Dáil got heated once again between Deputy Piers Doherty and Taoiseach Micheál Martin, and 226 children in Donegal remain on disability assessment waiting lists. That's all for now. I'll be back again at 6 o'clock. And a reminder that Farming News and Views will be up next after the obituary notices.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, May 30th.
The death has taken place of Sam Maxwell, Cumberland Lodge, Ballindrate, Lifford. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral leaving from there on Sunday at 2 p.m. for 3 p.m. funeral service in Trinity Presbyterian Church, Main Street, Letterkenny, followed by private cremation at Lakeland's Crematorium Cavan on Monday. Family time please from 10 p.m. to 12 noon and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Terence McClintock, funeral director. The death has occurred of Alma O'Donnell, Nee Murphy, Carrigan, Carrigans. Alma will be reposing at her son Michael's residence, Main Street, Carrigans, until 10 p.m. today and tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Rosary each evening at 9 p.m. Family time please from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral cortege leaving Main Street, Carrigans on Saturday afternoon at 1:45 p.m. Going to St. Bahin's Church, St. Johnson for 2:30 p.m. Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in All Saints Church Cemetery, Newton Cunningham. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu, if desired, to the Good News Cancer Bus, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors, Oakfield Rafo. The death has taken place of Bridie Bradley, Nee Gallagher, The Orchard, 31 Ernie Road, Strabane, and formerly of Cranamadue, Dunlow, reposing at her home from 3 p.m. today. Funeral leaving her home on Saturday morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 a.m, followed by interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers please to Melmount Manor Residence Comfort Fund, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time please from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live at melmountparish.com. The death has taken place of Pauline McAleeney, Nee Giblin, Tierna Sligo, Irish, Clonmany. Her remains will repose at her home with family, friends and neighbours welcome. Funeral leaving from there tomorrow morning at 10:20 a.m. going to St. Michael's Church, Irish for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu if desired to Carndonagh Community Hospital, care of any family member or Comiskey Funeral Directors. House private please before the funeral, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Eileen Rankin, Chur, Muff. Everyone is welcome to the family home on Thursday and Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. and from 6 to 9 p.m. House private at all other times and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral service will take place in Greenbank Presbyterian Church on Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m, followed by burial in the adjoining burying ground. Family flowers only please. If wished, donations in lieu of flowers to Greenbank Presbyterian Church, care of Mrs. Sylvia McConn, Three Trees, Quigley's Point. The death has occurred at her late residence of Joan Doherty, 559 Ardmacool, Stranorler. Remains reposing at McCool's Chapel of Rest today and tomorrow from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Funeral from there on Saturday, June 1st, for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorler at 11 a.m. Cremation will take place afterwards in Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on churchservices.tv. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Dialysis Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred in Spain of Claire O'Sullivan, Maharamore, Carndonagh. Claire's ashes will be returning home and a funeral mass will be held tomorrow at 11 a.m. in the Sacred Heart Church, Carndonagh, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. The biggest agricultural show in Donegal this year will be in Clonmany. This year's event will once again be over 2 days on Tuesday, August the 6th and Wednesday, August the 7th. And it'll be the 55th staging of the event, which has really grown in recent times. It takes an awful lot of organisation behind the scenes and plans are well advanced for this summer's event. To find out more about the Clonmany Agricultural Show and what we can expect, I've been speaking with PRO Blaine McCarron. The countdown is on
to another show, Blaine, and based on last year's great success, no doubt it's a case of building for even better and brighter things. And once again, we're going to have a two-day show.
First of all, thanks very much for having us on here. It's always great to be on with yourself on Farming News and Views. Last year, obviously, was the first year we piloted the two-day show, and it proved to be a huge success and really beneficial for us. So this year, it's all about building on the 2 days and expanding the 2 days to maximise the entertainment for everybody involved. So, yeah, we're flat out here at the minute, getting things in place, and plans are coming together very nicely, Chris.
Now, an event like this takes a huge amount of work, and no sooner had last year's show finished that you're almost straight away going into the preparations. But it's a small number of people involved, and behind the scenes, so much going on over the last few months, no doubt.
That's right. Yeah, those early meetings after the show are very important, because it's a chance to sit down and see how the show went, what we can improve on, what we can build on. So part of what we noticed last year was we put a small bit of attention into some rare breeds on display for the second day, and we noticed that it got a huge reaction. Those pens were very busy with people all day, so we decided to capitalise on this. So this year we've got a strong focus on day two towards rare breeds. We're going to see lots of pens of cattle, sheep, everything, you name it, of the rare breeds. We're going to introduce classes for these, so they're going to be judged. And we're just in the process of finalising a prize fund as well, so it'll give people with these rare breeds an opportunity to come and show, with the opportunity to win some good prize money. And again, it adds to the show. We'll have our traditional livestock classes on Tuesday, and we'll have a good show of rare breeds on Wednesday. So that's something that's new for this year.
So Tuesday and Wednesday, the 6th and 7th of August. Looking on numbers, obviously the weather has a factor, but have you any idea how many people would typically attend a show over the 2 days?
Yeah, well, last year, I suppose, last year been one of the bigger years with the shearing. Our numbers were definitely up in the thousands, you know. You're probably talking 5,000 plus per day. Obviously, it's quite difficult to get an exact number, because kids are coming in free there, and exhibitors and whatnot are coming in free, so it's hard to get a figure of exactly who's in the field. But to be quite honest, Chris, when you're standing there in the sunshine looking around you, and you see the stage packed, you see every tent packed, you see the whole field packed, it's really a fantastic event, you know, for the whole family.
It's one of the biggest agricultural shows in the Northwest, and indeed in the northern half of the country. Tell us a little bit about the actual site where you stage it, and is there a lot of preparatory work that needs to be done?
There is indeed. It's a greenfield site, very kind permission every year from the landowners there, who work very closely with us. So the gates open just 2 weeks before the show, and there's an awful lot of work to go into place then. Obviously, being the location where it is, there's no electricity. We're all on generated power. There's no toilet facilities, so we're all in Portaloo. So we face challenges that other festivals wouldn't face in that sense, but what we don't have in that, we make up for in the quality of the ground there. It's right on the coast. It's free draining. It can withstand an awful lot of rain and wet weather, so we're very, very lucky. In fact, a lot of people would say that it's one of the huge successes of the show, the location there, that we would see other shows struggling in wet weather. We don't have as many problems there where we are.
Now, tell us a little bit about the actual lineup for the show. Obviously, the various competitions, certainly sheep and cattle will, as always, feature largely, but in recent years, there's been quite a bit of diversification. You touched on there the rare breeds, and then when we take in everything from home produce to other activities, it's, I suppose, that's one of the reasons why there is something there for everybody in the family.
Absolutely, Chris. A modern agricultural show, it's very important that it keeps its traditional values of agriculture being the core theme. But for a show like this to survive, you have to have fun for all the family and something for everybody that comes through the gate. And that's exactly what we have there at Clonmany. It's something we've worked on very hard. But this year you'll see the return of fun for all the family. You'll see fashion shows. Our home industries tent will be heaving as always. Our open air stage with our live bands. We've got jiving competitions as normal. Basically, there's something for everybody that walks through the gate, Chris. And of course, in the lead up to the show itself, We've got our grand prize draw tickets for sale again, with first prize again being the brand new tractor or a brand new Jeep. And that draw takes place in the evening of the show on the open air stage. And the atmosphere does be absolutely electric, Chris, you know. So a great couple of days out for the whole family.
Yeah, and as you say there, the grand draw, €100,000 worth of prizes up for grabs. And it's an important aspect of it all, and good to see the tickets already on sale. Tell us also about, there's always a few, I suppose, unique or fairly novel events that take place that can add to the draw of the whole event, and this year is going to be no exception. We have, I believe, shall we say, a stunt motorbike act?
We do indeed, Motocross Ireland, we reached out to those. They've had some hugely positive feedback from other shows they've put on, so we got in contact with them, and we're delighted to say that they're going to be coming to the show. We put up a short teaser video there. It's available to watch on our Facebook page. It's surprisingly, it got over 10,000 views. So there seems to be a real appetite there to see what they can put on. So we're excited to see ourselves what they can put on in the show there. Stunt bikes and the like. So it should be a great pull altogether. So it should.
And as always, you know, plenty of things will happen between now and August. But if people want to get an idea of what's coming down the track, your Facebook page will be providing updates and giving you information right up to the start of the show.
That's right. Facebook page and Instagram page as well. And our website coming closer to the show, our prize schedules and catalogues will be uploaded on the website as well. Entries are all going to be available online this year. There's plenty of ways to keep in contact with what's going on here at Clonmany Agricultural Show.
And finally, Blaine, worth pointing out that it's very important for the local economy. It does attract big numbers, and quite a lot of the people coming to it are also from outside the county, and indeed there'll be tourists there who may just stumble upon it, but it certainly provides a big boost to that local economy.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the first week of August, and in Clonmany, as we all know, is one of the biggest weeks of the year. But it's a fantastic event. You're seeing thousands of people coming to exhibit all sorts of classes from all over the country. So, there's people in Clonmany that week that have never been in Clonmany before. And it's great for driving the economy for the local hotels, restaurants, pubs and the like. It's a fantastic event for driving the local economy, and that's what local shows are all about, Chris, community spirit and letting the whole community benefit, you know.
And that was Blaine McCarron, PRO of the Clonmany Agricultural Show. Meanwhile, details of this year's Beef 2024 Open Day have been announced. It'll take place on Wednesday, the 26th of June, at the Teagasc Animal and Grassland Research and Innovation Centre in Grange in County Meath. The Open Day theme is Securing Your Future, and will display the technologies available to farmers to build sustainable cattle businesses for the years ahead. Attendees on the day will be addressed at the first two main stands before taking a journey through a series of technology villages, which will provide details on management practices for efficient beef production systems. And there will also be live displays and demonstrations. In other news, Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Senator Pippa Hackett, has announced the reopening of the Organic Processing Investment Grant Scheme. This tranche of the scheme has a budget of €1.5 million to support investments in the Irish organic processing sector. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.